Working women, how many things are you expected to do on a daily basis? It's impossible to do it all, yet we're asked to each day. Listen to hear how one high wire woman, Rosanna Berardi, stays on the high wire while managing a busy law firm, a consulting business, teaching at a law school, parenting her 14-year-old son, and maintaining a happy and healthy marriage. Let Rosanna show you how to make sense of your life and stay on that high wire.
Well, hello, High Wire Woman. And today I have a very special guest with an amazing story, Veronica Childs. Veronica is in Southern California, lucky her. And we're thrilled to have her today. So welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So, you know, I always tell people, tell me your 1 minute story. And most people cannot tell their story in 1 minute, but tell us the high points, tell us the good stuff, tell us who you are and what you've done.
Well, I'll start with what I consider my new life, because up until about 2 years ago, I was overweight ever since I was a kid. And I remember like thinking, when I lose weight, I will be happy. When I lose weight, I'll go skydiving. When I lose weight. And yes, it was always when. And I constantly was waiting for my life to begin because I had to lose weight first. I don't know why I got it in my head that I had to do that to follow my passions, but I did. Mm-hmm. And so about 2 years ago, I actually had a health scare. They thought I had breast cancer, and that kind of led me to a lot of doctor's appointments. And in those, I found out that I could get bariatric surgery. So it's kind of a weird transition. It all kind of meshes together, but I ended up getting bariatric surgery, which I hesitated to tell people for a really long time.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of stigma with it, but I lost 170 pounds.
Wow, so, that's incredible.
Yeah, more than one person.
Yeah, so, for real. I mean, yeah, that's incredible. I mean, what a silver lining. I mean, you thought you had breast cancer and luckily, thank God you didn't, but it did allow you to learn about something else and then take action.
Right, exactly. And then what ended up, fast forward to last summer during COVID, I had actually scheduled a preventative mastectomy. And so it kept getting pushed back because of COVID.
Right.
And then finally, I got in for my pre-op and the doctor found a mass on my thyroid. I remember her telling me, like right then and there, because it was kind of large, she did an ultrasound. And then when she did it, she's like, oh, this is cancer. And I'm like totally off the cuff. And I'm like, well, the good kind of cancer or the bad kind of cancer?
Right.
She played it off. She's like, oh, it's a good kind of cancer. She's like, but I've done 1500 of these. This is cancer. Like she was certain before we even did the biopsy.
Oh, so man. Then,
yeah. So I got like, of course, like anybody would, I kind of panicked for a few hours. And then I was like, you know what? I know it's the good kind of cancer, but I've been waiting my whole life to do stuff. What if something happens? Like I'm not going to have it, all these memories that I've wanted to have with my kids and they're not going to have the adventures that I wanted to take them on. So I kind of went online that night and made this big post, and I'm not one to deliver bad news very well. So I started the whole post about how I've lost all this weight and I'm going to do all these cool things. And then at the bottom, I was like, and by the way, I have cancer. Like,
yikes.
I'm not in so many words, but that was kind of what it was like. But I was astonished at the amount of support I got. I had posted on there some of the things that I wanted to do. And so people actually were inviting me to do stuff. So like within a couple of weeks, we went jet skiing, ATVing. I did a tandem skydive with one of my best friends.
Oh my God, how cool.
Yeah. So it was this huge journey. But during all of that, I was making videos to kind of update my family. I have a very large extended family.
Okay.
And so I was making these videos and I really, really found my passion in making videos and sharing my story with people. And kind of, I always see all of these very successful people and they're the ones that are the motivational coaches and everything, but it's kind of hard to get from A to Z. I see myself as completely starting at the very beginning and this person's all the way already successful, already at the height of their career or whatever it is. And so it's kind of hard to see that you can get there when it seems like such a huge distance to go. And so I started making these videos kind of recording my journey so that when I get rich and famous, I kid, of course, but when I am successful, whatever that looks like to me, I can look back to see where I started and then people will be able to see the journey that I took and how it wasn't like all rainbows and sunshine and we still got there.
Yeah, it's funny. People say, you know, the 20-year overnight success, right? Like people think like, oh, this just happened, or oh, you're this famous motivational speaker making millions of dollars. But what they don't see is that you had to give countless numbers of speeches to the local chamber of commerce for free at 9 o'clock at night when you really wanted to be at home with your kids. they don't see that. So I get it. And I've got to tell you, as a cancer survivor, I was diagnosed with breast cancer back in 2012. And luckily for me, you know, it turned out really well. But that changed my entire way of thinking. Like you, I was like, okay, I'm not going to wait to do anything. I'm going to just whatever I want to do within, you know, reason, I'm going to do. So I live crazy. I do crazy things and I travel a lot. And that's why, you know, and I don't think if you, you know, when you have your life threatened in that way, it changes you, right? And luckily for you and I, we're both sitting here talking about it. So we're on the right side of the coin. But when you are not sure, you know, where you're going to wind up, you're like, well, I'm not going to wait to go skydiving, or I'm not going to wait, you know, to take that trip to Hawaii that I always wanted to take. I'm just going to do it. And you figure out the money, you figure out the time. Maybe it's not the 5-star trip, but it's the 3-star. So who cares, right? You know, the silver lining of cancer for a lot of people or any type of serious medical diagnosis is it just puts everything into focus. Everything that's important, everything that you want to do. And you stop waiting and you start living.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That was what it was like for me. And so in making all these videos, I've actually had a lot of fun, you know, figuring out social media. I didn't know any of the stuff. Like up until recently, I didn't really even have an Instagram. So it's completely mind shift for me, but I had so much fun doing it. And I've been doing, making videos and editing and uploading them and stuff. And two of my friends who run the Last Life Ever podcast, Jillian Sidoti and Jeffrey Holtz, they actually invited me to join their team as part of Last Life Ever and help them with their branding and promoting and things like that.
So tell us about that. Tell us about the Last Life Ever podcast and what they're doing. I love the fact that you're their brand ambassador, because who's a better fit than you? I mean, you have such a story and a background. Tell us a little bit about the podcast and Last Life Ever.
So Last Life Ever is, the reason it's called Last Life Ever is because they're challenging everybody to live their every day as if it was their last day, because you only get one life, assuming this is your last life ever. So make it worth it. Sure. And both of them are very successful. They call it reformed lawyers or recovering lawyers.
Oh, that's so funny. I love that.
Because they are both very successful in their fields as lawyers. But like me, they also found that even with all the success that they had, it wasn't the same as being truly happy on the inside.
Right.
And so Last Life Ever is supposed to be about following your passions, wherever your heart takes you, to make it the best that you can be, but also not just for you as like a selfish thing, as a personal fulfillment thing, but also because in fulfilling your passions and doing the things that you want to do truly in your heart, then you're actually fulfilling your life purpose, because there's a reason that burning desires in your heart. There's a reason you have an affinity for whatever it is that you really, really like, because you're supposed to do something with that and kind of make the world a better place.
Yeah, I love that. When I was researching you in anticipation of our podcast, you said there's a reason that you have a burning desire to do something. You've been given that desire because it is your calling. And I was like, oh my God, I never thought of it that way. I mean, I have this over obsession with traveling and going places and doing things. And I drive my husband and son crazy because they're like normal people that would like to travel like once or twice a year. And I want to travel like every month. And my son, who's a teenager, is like, Mom, what's wrong with you? Like, you're obsessed. And now I'm going to say, well, listen, this burning desire, this is my calling. And you know what? I think you're onto something there, because I am doing some stuff, business stuff that's related to my passion for travel. So I love how you rephrase that. And this is why I love doing these podcasts, because every single time I talk to somebody, it doesn't matter who I speak to, I always come away with a nugget of information or a thought that I didn't know beforehand. So that's really amazing.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, I mean, you lost 170 pounds. Holy crap. Like, that's huge. And, you know, I'm 49 years old. I didn't struggle with my weight until the last 10 years. So, or actually 9 years. So when I turned 40, just seemed like my metabolism shut down. And like you, and I think like every woman, you're like, well, when I lose 20 pounds, then I'll be happy. Or, oh, you know, I can't lose weight, so I'm miserable and I must be a bad person. Like, tell us a little bit about the psychology of that and how how it changed. I mean, when you started losing weight, were you ultimately happier?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that because actually, yes, of course, like I was watching myself transform and physically I felt much better. Like I remember the very first time I kind of popped up from being on the floor and I'm like, wow, that was really easy. Like I literally popped up instead of having to be like, okay, I'm going to get up.
Right.
And so that was a trip. But also like on an emotional level, like it was really actually kind of difficult because unless you've been overweight your entire life, kind of society treats overweight people differently. And we're kind of on the sidelines, unless you really put yourself out there. I'm not saying that every overweight person's on the sidelines because some people are really, really good about that. But because of my own issues with self-confidence and stuff like that, I kind of just used my weight to hide, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so as those layers of armor were coming off, so to speak, it was kind of scary. And because now all of a sudden, you know, you go places and everybody talks to you. Like you have no idea how different that is, or just questioning like, well, are they talking to me because they would have always talked to me, or are they talking to me because now I look different? I don't know. It's a trip. Yeah. But when I finally got to my goal weight, and you're right, I don't give myself enough credit because I got to my goal weight and I was like, okay, now what? Like, do I do now?
Wow.
And so for me, it's a constant emotional reminder of like, don't go back to the way you were just because you don't have cancer, just because now you're happier doesn't mean it's time to stop. You have to just keep moving forward because if you don't keep moving forward, you'll actually find yourself moving backward, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's harder for women to lose weight and men can drop 20 pounds very easily because I don't think they're as much of an emotional eater as a woman is. Like when I get stressed, the first thing I do is like, I want food that comforts. And I'm like, oh, I had a terrible day. I'm just going to have some chocolate. And okay, for like 30 seconds, that comforts me. But then for an hour, I'm like, oh my God, you know, that was really dumb. But I think, you know, especially now, the last year for working women or women with kids has been so difficult with remote school and work from home and all of that. I just think it's so easy to give in to those emotions. So you're busy. You've got 3 kids. You're homeschooling them. That's new since the pandemic. Like, how do you turn off those emotions? And is that difficult for you?
Oh, absolutely. It definitely is because, like you said, clearly I was an emotional eater most of my life. So now it's about trying to find something different to self-soothe without having to stuff it down with food, which was so very much what I was doing because I remember just being angry and like angry eating, you know, like, why am I eating? I'm eating my emotions. This is not good. And so it is a constant still, even with the surgery. Yeah. My stomach is smaller, but my emotions and the way I grew up is still very much the same. So it's reframing and reprogramming yourself to do things differently. So I wouldn't say I was a negative person, but I was a very self-deprecating person.
Okay.
So again, within the reframing, it's kind of like for every negative thought I think of myself, then I think of 3 positive thoughts, or I say 3 positive things out loud to kind of reframe it. And so when I start feeling like I'm going to eat, I really think like, okay, am I really hungry? Because sometimes I do forget to eat and I'm hungry, or am I eating because I'm stressed out? Am I angry? Am I happy? I would eat when I'm happy. I would just eat.
Right. Really? Feels good, right? Like eating is good. Like the food tastes good. You feel happy. Like it's a thing. It's not my son. I'll say, oh, do you want something? Oh, I'm not hungry. And I'm like, well, being hungry or not is really not a thing. Like sometimes I want to eat just because it makes me feel good. And I'm not necessarily starving, right? Like it's a thing. So did you work? Obviously you worked on your mindset. Do you think that was a huge part of your success in losing the weight and keeping it off?
Yes, that most definitely. And like I said, for your listeners, it's not like all of a sudden it's easy to do that things. It's constantly, when I feel myself going back to old habits, it's constantly going, okay, wait, stop. I choose not to do that.
That's super empowering because like you said, you don't just have the surgery and then it's easy, right? I mean, because you're still living the same life. You have the same stressors. We live in a society where there's food everywhere. I mean, everywhere you look, every corner, I mean, not so much now with COVID, but every place you go, every party, there's food, right? And it's terrible food. So it is that mental fortitude. And I love what you said about every time you have one negative thought, you try to counter it with three positive, because we all have that negative voice, right? Like, oh, you're not good enough, or oh God, you look fat, or oh my God, you need Botox, your head looks terrible. You know, we all do that. And, you know, I caught myself doing it yesterday. I was really tired. And for me, the key to my happiness is sleep. And when I don't sleep, it gets ugly. And I didn't sleep well the night before. And I was like, oh, I'm not smart enough to do this. And then I'm like, wait, clearly I know something, because I have a business and I do this and I do that. And I sort of had to give myself a pep talk. And that seems a little bit weird, but it's super powerful. And it sounds like you do the same thing with the battle with food, where you're constantly have to remind yourself, like, you didn't come this far to just come this far, right? You're not going to go back.
Right. And what's very scary, at least on this side of the bariatric surgery, is I know that people go back to their old habits. I know personally people who have had, they'll have gastric sleeve and lose weight, but then gain it all back. So then they'll go to gastric bypass and then lose weight and then gain it all back. Or worse, people who get the surgery and then don't make a lifestyle change and then don't lose weight. It's about using that as a tool to change your life, not so much that it changes your life all by itself.
Yeah. So it's only one part of the equation. Like, the surgery helps, but if you don't do the mental and emotional work, you're going to be right back to where you started. So that's super interesting, because we all love the idea, like, I'll just take a pill or I'll just get surgery and everything will be great. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way and does require a lot of work. So you told me that your kids are being homeschooled as a result of the pandemic. Distant learning is awful and so many kids are struggling with it. Tell me how that transition has been to homeschooling.
It's been a challenge, to be honest. So last year, when COVID kind of took over the very last part of their school year, my kids really struggled. Both of my older kids have ADHD and they just could not focus on Zoom. It wasn't, the teachers were doing a great job trying to engage the students, but they just couldn't. And so when it wasn't looking like schools were going to go back this year, I was like, you know what? I'm homeschooling you practically anyway, because you're having trouble attending the Zoom. So I'm still teaching you everything that you need to know, but I'm not in control, which was stressing me out because I never knew when things were due or what meeting they were supposed to be at. It seemed like everything was everywhere. And so I looked into homeschooling. I'm like, okay, we're going to take this year and do homeschooling and try to fit in more family things. And I've kind of been trying to slowly feed my kids the things that I'm learning so that they can kind of start their life out sooner. Like, for example, the other day I got a class on branding and things like that on Udemy, and I was going to watch it. And I was like, you know what? Today's school, regular school is canceled. We're going to watch this together. And so we watched the whole series of videos, and then I made them each come up with something that they would want to sell or company that they would want to start. And so they had to come up with a logo and explain why they use the colors that they use and why they use the fonts that they did. And so that was a day in the life of homeschooling when you can control what it is that we do. And actually, I really enjoyed it because I got to share what I was doing with them.
What a great opportunity for the kids, right? To have this opportunity to think like a business person and, hey, this is what my business would look like. And here's what my font and my logos. So much of what our kids learn is theoretical and they don't have the opportunity to apply it. And, you know, you may have planted a seed or two and they may say in 5 years, like, oh yeah, remember that? Like, I really want to do that. That was cool. So, I mean, I love the flexibility part and also the parallel learning. They see you learning, right? You're learning new things. And what a great example to set in terms of your overall journey, but also just saying, hey, I'm learning this too. So I'm a brand new student and that's really powerful. Yeah. So do you think you'll continue homeschooling? Like, let's say some miracle happens and they're all back in school like next week. Like, what do you think you'd do?
My youngest, who's 5, definitely, because I think she needs to learn the social interaction part.
Yeah, sure.
My oldest, who will be going into high school next year, I actually think high school is a very important component of kind of learning how to adult. So I would really like her to be able to go in person. Just because that's where you start learning how to build more adult friendships and just helps you get into the college mindset. Mm-hmm. And then college helps you get into the career mindset. So for her, definitely. My son, he is more of a trick. I'm not sure. He really wants the homeschool. And I do feel like he particularly learns a lot better one-on-one. Okay. Yeah. So we're still thinking that one out. I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah, sure. So I asked you how you do it all, and you told me about your routine. Tell me about the, it seems like you do a lot of journaling and writing. Tell us a little bit about what you do every morning. Give us a glimpse.
So when I wake up in the morning, we have a recliner in our bedroom, which is where I'm sitting now. And so I sit in my recliner and I do a meditation practice. I myself have a very quick mind that just reels everywhere. So I do a guided meditation on YouTube. I just kind of pop in my headphones and do that. So that kind of sets me for the day. But in addition to that, I take it upon myself to write three things that I'm grateful for that day and three things that I'm excited about doing that day. So today, yes. Obviously, I was excited about doing this.
Oh, great. I'm glad I made the list.
Yeah. But that actually has really helped reframe my mindset every morning to look for something good that's going to happen, even if I know it's going to be a stressful day. And then I review my schedule for that day, because there's nothing worse than getting halfway through your day and realize that you either missed something right. or like you have to be somewhere in 10 minutes and you're not prepared. And with three kids and trying to do a business and trying to help my husband with his business and running the household, that's happened. So
yes, for
checking
sure.
my schedule has made a huge thing. And then in the evening, I kind of do the opposite. So I write down three things that went well. Today's wins is what mm-hmm. we call them.
Right.
And then three things that I need to improve on for the next day, or that I choose to improve on for the next day. And so that's also really helped. And then I review my schedule for the next day and prep anything I can prep ahead of time, because that actually helps me get in a better mood. So it's not just about being more productive and more focused. Mm-hmm. Like emotionally, it helps me as well, because I feel like in control and I know what's happening that day,
for
or at
sure.
least as much as you can plan ahead with three kids.
Yeah, no, for sure. And the writing things down, the paper to the pen, is super powerful. I mean, it's really simple. And I think we live in this world of technology where it's like, oh, it's so old school, like I'm going to write something down. But I think it's so therapeutic and so important and puts you in the right mindset. And even, you know, yesterday I was having a tough day and I just started writing like randomly, like what I was thinking and feeling. And it's like this brain dump and you just get it out and no one's judging you. And framing your life with gratitude and things you're excited about totally changes your mindset, right? Like you're like, oh, I have all these things to do today, but I'm super excited to do this one thing. And that could carry you know, for the whole day. And, you know, we're on this treadmill of life as working moms where we got to do dinner and then it's school and then homework and then this and then that. It, you know, if you don't stop for a few minutes, and I always encourage, you know, my clients at Highwire Woman and at my law firm, like just take a minute and let's make a plan. Because if you don't plan your day, it's going to plan it for you. And then that's usually ugly. Right. And then everything is like a fire drill and you're like, oh, I can't do it. I forget things and all of that. So
it's stressful, but I think when I'm not focused, I actually accomplish less because I feel like I jump from task to task.
Yes.
Like I'll be doing, you know, I'll go into the laundry to put in a load of laundry and all of a sudden I see this one dirty thing and I'll start cleaning that. And
right.
My yes. kids call me to help them with something and I go to that and nothing got done. Everything got half done. Another tip that has really, really helped me, I don't know how I came up with it, but one day I was like, you know what? I'm just going to set a timer and no matter what happens, I'm going to stay focused on this one task for 15 minutes. Nothing's yeah. going to stop me. And so, of course, like I kept having these random thoughts. So
right.
I'd write them down because I'm like, okay, when I get off, when my 15 minutes over, I need to make this phone call or whatever yeah. it was. And man, I got so much done. And so that's kind of been part of my daily thing too, is I'll set a 15 minute timer and really, really focus, just because some people could do probably longer. It's just that my kids could wait 15 minutes for just about anything.
Sure.
So unless the house is on fire, if they say, right. mom, then I'm like, ah, my timer, you know, 10 more minutes. And so they'll wait. And then I actually get stuff done.
Time blocking is huge. I do that as well. Before our podcast today, I had a timer on for 30 minutes. I was just going to go through all my emails. The problem with email is you could do it forever. It's like the big time suck. So I'm like 30 minutes when the timer's off, I'm done. I'm not looking at anything. I'm not looking at texts. And I got a ton done. I mean, and I do the same thing at home where same thing, you go throw in a little laundry and you're like, oh, I'll do this or that. And I have to remind myself like, no, you're doing laundry and you're cutting up vegetables. Those are the only two things you're doing right now. Because like we see it, right? And you're like, oh, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do that. And then it's like, wah! It turns into insanity. So I really like that idea a lot. So Veronica, your story is so inspiring, so impressive. Tell me like what your next, I don't even want to say what your next chapter looks like, because I know everyone's a work in process, but tell me a little bit more about Last Life Ever and what your future looks like.
Sure. So I'm going to be helping them with a lot of like their upcoming events and things like that. We're planning an event actually for June. And before COVID started, we actually had planned a trip to Hawaii. We were all going to run a half marathon together. Ooh. But that's still up in the air because the half marathon stopped selling tickets because they weren't sure they were going to be able to do it. So we're not positive on that. But in addition to that, Jillian and I decided to co-author a book about being a working mom. So we started calling it The Productive Mom. Mm-hmm. And then my husband pointed out that that was very gender biased in the opposite way.
Good point.
And I was like, you know what? You're right, because he actually does a lot helping me around the house because he works from home too. And so it's kind of still a working title, but we're calling it The Productive Parent. But it's really just like about organizing your home and then organizing your mindset and then using that to be more productive.
So when will that be available?
We're going to have it up hopefully before Mother's Day.
Oh,
and
great.
So I'm done with my first draft. Jillian is now working on her kind of inserting what she's going to insert, and then we'll proceed from there. But I'm really excited about that.
So I know you do a lot of videos. I know you have a lot of cool things. Where can our listeners find you if they want to, you know, follow you on YouTube or Instagram? Where's the easiest place to look for you?
So I am on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and my handle is Veronica Ventures.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that actually is my own personal brand. And I started that because it was all about the adventures. First of all, it was about the adventures that I was planning on taking. So, you know, going skydiving and
right.
Yeah. So, but now it's about the adventures I'm taking in my everyday.
I love that. So Veronica Ventures, we're going to put that in our show notes so everyone can click on it and find you on their favorite social media channel. I can't wait to take a look. I was looking a little bit before the podcast, but I want to look at the first stuff that you did compared to what you're doing now, because to see that progression is always so exciting. And, you know, you were talking about your adventures, but then we get to see a glimpse of you actually doing them. So very amazing. And my final question is, would you go skydiving again? Because that scares the crap out of me.
Oh yeah. I'm actually planning on doing a solo skydive next. It's called the Accelerated Free Fall. So when you go tandem, you're actually like really literally strapped onto somebody else and they basically do all the work. You just kind of hang on like being in a baby carrier, so to speak.
Oh, wow.
When you go solo by yourself, your very first jump, obviously you're still being instructed. So you have to take like a 6-hour class and then you jump out with two instructors and they kind of literally with their hands keep you steady and guide you through the process that they've just trained you on the ground to do. And then you still land by yourself. So that's my next step.
I'm totally watching Veronica Ventures because I want to see that. And I mean, what a journey. Not only, you know, your weight loss, but you survived 2 cancer scares, you're homeschooling your kids, you're still finding things to be grateful for, and you're writing a book. You're truly a high wire woman, truly. And we thank you today for sharing your story, for your inspiration, and stay on that high wire. I know you can do it.
Thank you very much. And thanks for having me.
My pleasure.